Walking out. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. Thank you for your faithfulness. Lord, we pray that you give us focus. Give us focus. In Jesus' name, amen. When I first started ministry 18 years ago or so, I went to Philadelphia to do a youth conference. When I arrived in Philly, I heard that the devil was having a swap meet, flea market, at the Veterans Stadium where the Eagles play. So I went to see it. I wanted to see what he was doing. And he had all these booths and tables and little tents all around the parking lot at Veterans Stadium. And these demons were behind these tables and booths giving all this stuff away, giving drugs, disease, pornography, guns, terrorism pamphlets, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And people had driven from all over New York, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Delaware, the East Coast, and there was traffic backed up on all the 95 freeway, all the main freeways back there, coming to the swap meet to get all the stuff the devil was giving away. So I'm walking around checking this out, big demons behind tables giving the stuff away, and I look up on the stadium, and the devil is up there laughing. And all the doors on the stadium were locked, and it said, "No admittance, Satan only." I said, "Devil, what are you doing?" He said, "Oh, Miles, I'm ruining everyone's lives. Look at all these suckers out there. I'm just going to ruin their life." I go, "What's in here? Why is the stadium locked?" He says, "I have in the stadium my number one weapon." I go, "What do you mean?" He says, "You know I can't make anybody sin, so I have to trick them. And when I trick them, I use the same thing every time, and it's in the stadium. That's why I can't let anybody in the stadium. Every time you sin because you want to sin. You can't ever blame somebody else. You can't blame the devil. He can only trick you, but in the end, it's a decision you make, a conscious decision that you make to disobey God. But every time that you do it, the devil tricks you using this number one weapon." So I was like, "Man, what is it, devil?" He said, "Well, if I tell you, you're going to beat me at my own game." I said, "Okay, so I'm going to read the Bible because I know it's in the Bible." So I started reading Genesis 1, Genesis 2. I got to Genesis 3, and that's where we're at right now. Now, let's give me a little review. We remember we did Genesis 1 and 2 over the last month, and we saw God create the heavens and earth. He created Adam and Eve. And by the way, next week we're having our quiz, our big quiz. So y'all said a couple months ago you wanted to learn the Bible, and I said it's up to you to learn the Bible. So we've given you information. We've given quizzes. Go on the internet, look at all the quizzes from January and the quiz from today. Study all the quizzes, and we're going to have a quiz next week, 10 questions. So my goal is that 50% of you would get an A, because before it was like 1%. But we looked at Genesis 1, Genesis 2, leave it to Cleaver, Adam and Eve, remember that? And here now we have Adam and Eve, were married in Genesis 2, a man and a woman. They were naked, not ashamed. And now we have Genesis 3, that Adam and Eve in the garden, but we're going to see that Eve was by herself, and the devil's going to come speak to her. Now let's look in the notes. Chapter 3, verse 1. It says, "The serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made." Stop. The serpent, this is not a snake. Whenever you see a woman talking to a snake, it's not a snake. The serpent wasn't cursed and became a snake until after the sin. This is a demonic, angelic being talking to a woman that was clothed in glory, crowned in glory. Even Eve was crowned in glory, Psalm 8. So this is not a conversation between a snake and a woman like you and I know a woman. This is an angelic being, a glorious angelic being was a devil, very intelligent. As a matter of fact, the devil was, before he was cast to earth as a devil, he was God's number one angel. So here you have this glorious, very intelligent, angelic, supernatural being having a conversation with the first woman who was walking with God, who was full of glory herself. We can't imagine what this looks like, but it's not a woman with a snake. And so here you have, the Bible says that the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. What does that mean? The devil's a mastermind intelligent. 20 years ago, for a man to marry a man was repulsive in this country. Today, they're breaking the law. The mayor is breaking the law to make it happen. Why? Because the devil's smart. I'll just work on you a little bit at a time. Next thing, I'll be able to change the law where a man can marry his kids. Next thing, I'll change the law where two men can marry three women. It's all coming. Nothing's outside of the realm of the devil's mind. He's slick. He's smart. He's slick. He's smart. He's intelligent. He's more intelligent than you. He could trick you every day over and over and over again. Matter of fact, so many people are so deceived, they don't even think he exists. That's the smartest trick of his all. There ain't no devil. Okay, whatever. Look in your notes. He's an enemy. He's the father of lies. He's a murderer. He's an evil one. He's an accuser. He's a wicked one. He's a tempter. And you can go on and on to the break of dawn. He is no good. And he's smart. And the Bible says that the devil says, he says to the woman, yo, girl, what's your name? Has God indeed said you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree, which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat, nor shall you touch, lest you die. I got a question for you. Why was Eve alone? Fellas, if you had a wife and she was naked, I'm just telling you what's in the Bible. If God gave you a wife and she was naked and y'all in the woods and he said, be fruitful and multiply, would you leave her alone? Oh, no. When you are alone, when you are not in Christian fellowship, when you're not going to church, you're not reading your Bible, you're not hanging around Christians, the devil's going to speak to you. The devil's going to trick you because she was away from Adam. She was a prime target to be deceived. Oh, I don't need to go to church. The devil's right in your doorstep then. I don't need to read Bible. The devil's going to be whispering in your ear. Learn the principle. Look in your notes. Skip down past 1 and 2 and see what it says, don't ever talk with the devil. Right in there, don't ever talk with the devil. The devil's not going to show up in your bedroom and go, ah! And you can say, hey, what's up, Satan? That ain't going to happen. He is going to start to whisper in your ear and cause you to question God's word, whether it's legit, whether it's true. Oh, well, men wrote the Bible. How do we know it's really true? He's going to have you question God's word. Don't talk to the devil. Don't start to rationalize, I really don't need to read my Bible every day. I really don't need to go to church. I really don't need to pray. I really don't need to obey every little thing. Don't start to rationalize. You might as well be talking with the devil. Next one. If you can't quote scripture unless you memorize scripture. When someone asks you what the Bible say, how are you going to tell them unless you know? Call up the church and ask. No, you figure it out. Do the quiz. You think the quiz is a silly thing? Guess what? If you don't know the answers, well, guess what? You got a problem. All it is the Bible. Do the quizzes. That's what God told us to give you. It's very simple. Boom, boom, boom. Every week, 10 questions. You could do it in 10 minutes. And guess what? You can learn a bunch of stuff. You're going to be studying 50 questions for the quiz next week. And guess what? You'll learn them like that because we talked about it all. Don't come here next week and fail and then blame the pastor. Don't blame me. I don't care. We did our part. Go study the quiz. Read the Bible. Memorize the Bible. Talk about the Bible. That's all we tell you every week. That's all God tells me every week. I got to do the same thing. I got to do the same thing. Because if you don't, the devil will tell you the word himself, his version. And his version ain't going to be the truth. Why? Because he's the father of lies. He's a mastermind of lying. Next one. If you don't know the Bible, the devil will tell you. They gladly distort it for you. He'll gladly distort the word. So here they have this conversation. The woman said, verse 2, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, you shall not touch, nor shall you eat, lest you die. And here's the devil's number one weapon. It's a lie. He said in verse 4, the serpent said to the woman, you will not die. For God knows in the day you eat, your eyes will be open. You'll be like God, knowing good and evil. My friends, this is the devil's number one weapon. It's a twofold lie. Look in your notes. One, the lie that sin has no consequences. And number two, that you can be like God in total control of your life. Every time you sin, you believe one of both those lies. Think about it. Think about the last time you lied. I'm not going to get caught. Think of last time you watched pornography on the internet. I'm not going to get caught. Last time you cheated on your taxes, cheated on your wife, cheated on your husband. Last time you got drunk, last time you got high, last time you did whatever you know you're not supposed to do, last time you lusted in your heart and your mind, you thought, I'm not going to get caught. There's going to be no consequence. I'm going to be okay. didn't you? Quiet, and that's a bad boy. I ain't hearing nothing. Just say amen.
Amen.
Because we did. Think about it. You didn't sin and say, I'm going to get caught and suffer. This is going to be neat. If you did that, you stupid deserve to be punished. No, you thought, I'm not going to get caught. I'm going to get away with it. And guess what the devil told you? Look at all the other people doing exactly the same thing. They ain't got caught. They didn't die. They're still alive. They're living together and being happy. Why can't we just do what we want to do? You know what the Bible says? The penalty of sin is death. And you may not die that minute because God loves you and is going to give you a chance to repent. But you're going to die. Is anybody in here think they're never going to die? You're going to die. Your body's going to be put in a box. And then it says you can be like God, knowing good and evil. God doesn't want you to know good and evil. Let me tell you something. God says he doesn't want you to know good and evil. It doesn't mean he doesn't want you to distinguish between, he doesn't want you to say, I'm not supposed to distinguish between killing somebody and loving somebody. No, it's not that. God doesn't want you to just start to decide on your own. Right from wrong, number one. In other words, we were in Mexico doing some ministry down there, and this little girl came up, and we were giving clothes. This is a long time ago. And I had this bag of shoes. This little girl says, yo, get us a zapatos. She wanted some shoes, zapatos. And she came to me. She had no shoes on, little dress, little pig ponytails, little tails in her hair. And she said, oh, yo, get us zapatos, yo, get us. And I was like, oh, I have shoes for you, little girl. And the Lord said to me, no zapatos. I said, God, you can speak Spanish, huh? He said, don't give that girl any shoes. I said, why not? He says, I don't have to explain anything to you. Do what I tell you. I'm like, fine. I ain't giving her any shoes. So I didn't give her any shoes. Next thing you know, this little boy in our group came up, gave her some shoes. She walked away. It's like, what was the problem? What was so hard about that? As soon as the girl walked away, the pastor of the church came out and said, if that girl comes back, don't give her any shoes or anything. Why not? Because she's not poor. She takes it free here and goes sells it to the poor. It's a scam. My job is not to know that. My job is to obey. You know what the devil wants you to do? The devil wants you to say, God, we don't need you. We're going to decide right and wrong on our own, a la San Francisco. Forget what the law says. This is a mayor. Forget what the law says and forget what God says. We're going to do what we want to do. And you know, fools and there's a whole bunch of other fools, Christians, I'm talking Christians specifically, who say, what's the big deal? They love each other. The big deal is what God said. You don't have to get married to express your love to somebody. Something is right or wrong because God said, just because we don't understand or agree doesn't nullify God's truth. We get in a problem when we start saying, let's rewrite the law and let's tell God he's wrong. This is exactly look what the devil said. You can decide good and evil by yourself. You don't need God. I know God said, man and woman, forget that, y'all. Do what I say. Do what you want to do. That's exactly. And by the way, God's going to judge this state. All those people are going all over the country to their government saying, we're married. Now you got to honor us. Problems. What they're doing up there is causing problems in this whole country. This whole country. And they got earthquakes up there? Oh, my goodness. I'm telling you, it hit me the other day. Sodom and Gomorrah. The same week, Passion's coming out. You think that's a coincidence? Don't be so silly. Don't be so silly. There's a spiritual battle in the heavens you're seeing right in front of you that's waging. Because next week, people are going to see Jesus on the screens all over this world, and they're going to be freaking out. And so the devil's saying, I got to do something. And he's up there doing it. It's not a coincidence, y'all. Don't think it's a coincidence. Here the devil says, for God knows in the day you eat, you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. Verse 6. So the woman saw that the tree was good for food, pleasant to the eyes, a tree desirable to make one wise. She took of its fruit and ate and gave to her husband, and he ate. You know what they said? Man, that fruit looks really good. Sin looks really good. Sin is fun, ain't it? Say amen if sin is fun. It's fun gossiping, ain't it? She just thinks she all that, you know what I'm saying? And even her hair, she look at her thinking, oh, flicking it like it's hers. You know what I heard? It's sin. We like pulling people down because it makes us feel better. The Bible says the mouth speaks from the overflow of the heart. You find someone gossiping a lot, they got problems in their heart. Oh. talking about people bad, they got problems in their heart. Getting drunk, getting high, having sex, all it's fun for a season. The devil's not going to show you the bad side. When the devil took Jesus up on the mountain, you know what he says? I'll give you all these kingdoms and their glory. He didn't tell him, I'll give you all these kingdoms and their problems. Let's look what it says. Verse 7. The eyes of both of them were open, and they knew that they were open, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. Look at the bottom of your notes. The consequences of sin is death. Consequences of sin is death. But you know what dies before you die? Your dreams, your relationships, your hope, your joy. A lot of the other stuff will die first. We're going to look at five of them. One is your innocence before God and each other. Adam and Eve were naked the whole time. We saw that in Genesis 2. They were naked and they had no shame. Look at verse 25 of Genesis 2. It says the two were one, they were naked and there was no shame. And now all of a sudden they do what God tells them not to do and they have nothing but shame. They realize we're naked. You know, before, naked wasn't naked. They were just there. Now all of a sudden it's a bad thing. And they tried to cover themselves with leaves. You can't cover your sin with leaves. Only the blood of Jesus Christ covers your sin. They try to cover their sin with leaves. And so look at your notes. Innocence before God and each other died. The next one you can write down is relationship with God. Relationship with God. Verse 8. They heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees. Answer this question, yes or no, on the count of three. Can you hide from God? One, two, three. Can you hide your thoughts from God? One, two, three. Can you hide your feelings from God? One, two, three. Then why do we try every day? Are you watching that curling, that kid that fell down when y'all laughing? That's my son. And when my son was born, my wife was in labor 49 hours, and his head was stuck 5 hours. And the normal baby is about 30% body weight is their head. That's why babies are so cute. One of the reasons they have, if you ever look at the next time you see a baby, just kind of proportion out the head to the rest of the body in about one third. Now, that's not cute when you're an adult. They put you in National Geographic if that was true. But as a baby, it's a cute thing. So my son had a, you know, his head was about 47%. His head was so big, we used to brush his head with a push broom. We would just kind of do that. He used to walk around crying. His forehead would be on the carpet. He'd just be rubbing on it. We used to show movies on his forehead. We just project it and have him just do this and give us a 3D effect, you know, kind of move. But he has a big head, and we used to play hide and seek in our house. And it'd be funny when he would come to me and want to play hide and seek, because he'd come with these big old gigantic chrome, you know, skull and say, Dad, Dad, let's play hide and seek. And I'm thinking, where are you going to hide? The Suburban? Behind the Suburban or the garage, that's about the only place you can go. So I said, all right, we'll play hide and seek. So I said, I'm going to count. Y'all go hide. Now, in our house, when we play hide and seek, we turn all the lights off, and you get a flashlight, and the object of the game is the person hiding has to scare the mess out of the person looking for him. That's the, you know, not, none of this running back to base stuff. That's corny. You got to scare people. Terror. Horror. So we, kids hide, and my son, I can hear him going down the hall because his head be banging, bam, bam, on the hallway, right? And when the hallway gets real narrow, it'd be like, da 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 da. So I just listen to see where he's going. And he goes and hides behind a plant this thin. And he's behind a plant like this. And I can hear him saying, he can't see us. Now, my daughter, who's with him, she's not hiding behind anything but his head. She can be, wherever you go, I got a spot. So she just goes right behind his head. She got a little mobile hiding spot. So my son's behind the plant, and my daughter's behind his head. And he's like, so I count. And when you play hide and seek, you got to count like a kid. One, 1, 2, 3, 1. Then I get to whatever number, and I got my flashlight. I'm going, where's Miles? And I'm walking through the house, and I can hear him going, hey, he can't see us. I'm down the hall. His head is leaning on my leg. He's over there, but his skull is over here. And he thinks I can't see him. Why? Because he can't see me. Little kids cannot think abstractly. In other words, they can't see it, it don't exist. That's why when mommy leaves the room, they start crying. Because they think mommy's gone. If you ever wonder why your kids cry, because when you leave, they think you're gone. That's why peekaboo's funny to them. When you do this, to them, you're gone. And then you're back. Then you're gone. You always thought you were funny, didn't you? I can go to HBO and do this. That ain't going to work on HBO. The problem is that we understand the things we can't see do exist. But yet, why do we forget that? See, you and I often believe that because we can't see God, God can't see us. How many times have you thought something and you thought, God, no one can hear me. It's only in my mind. God hears you. Imagine if everything you thought came out with words. You'd have to walk around like this. Fellas, imagine if everything you thought came out with words. Ladies, everything you think does come out with words to God. I think I might have said that wrong. Ladies, imagine if everything you thought came out with words. Man, imagine if you thought everything came out with words. Now, a new sentence. For all of us, everything we think does come out with words because God hears it. That's what I meant to say. Everything you think, God's listening. Everything you lust in your heart, God's listening. All your prideful thoughts, all your gossip, all your hatred, God's listening. Nothing is hidden from God. But yet Adam is trying to hide from God. You can't hide from God. Look in your notes. Number one, innocence before God dies, relationship with God dies, your spiritual status in the kingdom dies. In verse 9, it says, the Lord called to Adam, where are you? What was he saying? He says, Adam, you used to walk with me. We used to hang out. We used to watch TV together. We used to go skiing together. We used to do all this stuff together. Now you're running from me. Before, you were in the kingdom. You were the man, Adam. You had dominion. I told you to subdue the earth. Had dominion over everything. And now you're hiding behind a rock or something. God was not asking him, where are you physically? He was asking him, where are you spiritually? Where are you in your status? Has your sin increased your status one cubit? Anything. There was a kid who used to go to Mexico with us. His name was Danny. Danny was a redhead kid, white kid. Actually, he wasn't white. He was clear. He had no pigment. Red freckles, red hair, Opie. With no pigment. Love God. I got a picture of him with about 10 other kids at my house, 8 by 10. Great, big, clear picture when he was about 10 years old. Full of God. When he was 12, he got involved in a Mexican gang in San Diego. I don't even know. I've been looking, searching prisons for him, trying to find him. He's probably about 30-something years old right now. And I was in a juvenile detention center years ago talking to about 30 gang members, and I was describing Danny to them, but I never said his name. And they all said, that's Danny. He's down the hall. He was down the hall in a cell. They brought him out. He came, gave me a hug. He was about my height at the time. He had tattoos all both his legs up his body to his neck. Hair slicked back. He actually started to look Mexican. Imagine a redhead, freckled, Mexican-looking dude. Came, gave me a hug, sat down, broke my heart. I said, Danny, you remember when we used to go to Mexico? Yeah. Remember we used to go to church every week? Yeah. Remember we used to read the Bible every week? Yeah. Remember we used to preach the gospel? Yeah. I said, Danny, are you happier now? Doing what the devil wants you to do, doing what the devil told you you would suffer no consequences for? Or were you happier then? Danny, where are you? That's what God was asking. Dan, if you say you're happier now, I will never, ever preach the gospel and read from the Bible ever in my life again. This is why I said to him in front of all gang members. He said, I was happy before. Of course, you can never be more happy and more fulfilled and more purposeful and more focused than walking with God. Period. The devil will try to tell you can. Go make money. Go do this. Go do that. Get your hair done. Get everything done. Do this. Let me tell you something. You will never be more happy, more peaceful, more purposeful, or more of a solid ground. What's more solid than a rock? Amen. Jesus, the rock. What's more solid than that? Nothing. Than walking with God. And what the devil wants to tell you is, no, 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 no. You won't suffer any consequence. Matter of fact, your life will be better. Just do it your way, which is really his way. And Adam did. And he found himself hiding. Let me ask you a question. Where's some of y'all? Some of y'all have been doing exactly what you want to do and not what God wants. I don't need to read the Bible. What's it gotten you? I don't need to go to church. What's it gotten you? I don't need to be a Christian. What's it gotten you? That's what God wants to know, where you at. And you know what? You may think you're fine. When you die, you're going to go to hell. The Bible says the penalty of sin is death. You're going to die. And who do you know that came back from the dead to tell you that you don't need to read the Bible? Nobody. The only brother that ever came back and still talking is Jesus. And you know what he's telling us? Read the Bible and obey it. That's what he's saying. He's saying, I died for you. I rose from the dead for you. I paid the penalty because you will die. Let me die in your place. That's what the passion is all about. Let me die in your place. Please take people to that movie. And please be ready to tell them what it's all about. And shame on you if you can't explain the gospel to them. And you've been a Christian for more than an hour. Look what it says. Verse 10. He says, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. He said, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree which I commanded that you should not? And the man said, the woman whom you gave me, she gave me of the tree, and I ate. And the Lord said to the woman, what is this you have done? And to the woman he said, the serpent deceived me. Look in your notes. Number 5, trust by God, and you will die. God said, Adam, what'd you do? Did you do what I told you not to do? Yes, God. You know, today the Bible says that we're sinners because we're a descendant of Adam. A grizzly bear can only produce a grizzly bear. A walrus can only produce a walrus. An eagle can only have an eagle. A sinner can only have a sinner. Every single one of us is a sinner because you're human. Don't take offense to that. It's just the truth. You're a human. You're a sinner. Doesn't mean you are as bad as you could be, but it means you are as bad off as you could be, separated from God. And the Bible says the penalty of that sin is death. But the Bible says that while we were sinners doing what we wanted to do, Jesus Christ died for us to pay the price for our sin. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart, God raised you from the dead, you'll be saved. In other words, God, I'm a sinner. There's nothing I can do about it. I'm lost. And I don't want to hide from you anymore. And I don't want to be the devil's sucker anymore. I want to live in the light. I want to live according to the truth. I want to know why you made me, what your purpose is for my life. So, Jesus, please forgive me. I'm surrendering my life to you because I can't be the devil. He's too cunning for me. Let me tell you something. The devil is too cunning for any of you, for any of us. Don't fight him on your own. Let God deal with him. You focus on Christ. But the first thing you got to do is give your life to him and surrender your life to him and stop trying to play this game called life by yourself, because you will get fooled every time. I was in a prison, last time I was at prison in R.J. Donovan down at Chula Vista. I was telling these inmates that the devil does this with our life. He sticks his leg out and he trips us. Whether it be crime, drugs, whatever it is, and every time you guys fall, you came back to prison. And guess what the devil does? He stands there with his legs sticking out like that, and what do? We walk, trip, get up, blame the church, blame the pastor, blame everybody else, never blame ourselves, and then we get back in line. And we can't wait to rush to the line and trip again. Whatever that trip is, whatever that sin is, whatever that addiction is, whatever that issue is, and we get back in line, and we keep tripping, and we keep blaming God. We keep blaming the pastor. We keep blaming our parents. We keep blaming our neighborhood. And the devil's going, y'all are so stupid. And he's sitting up on the stadium laughing at us, because we don't know we need to be blaming him and ourselves. God says, you know what? Here's how good I am. I'm going to give you opportunity. I'm going to send people to stand right there in front of that line. When you fall down and get up, they're going to be there to tell you I love you. Don't ignore them. Don't get back in line. There's another line over there. It's called heaven, walking with God. Stop tripping, falling. For some of y'all today, you've tripped for the last time. In other words, it's time to say, Lord, I want to get out of this line and go over there. I really want to start walking with God. I really want God to forgive me. So in a minute, we're going to pray. You're going to have an opportunity to say, Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. Please forgive me of my sin. I want to be born all over again, born in the Spirit of God. And for all you other Christians out there, here's my challenge to you. It's twofold. Next time you get tempted to sin, like right now, what are you thinking? When you walk out of here, when you go home, stop and ask yourself, am I going to get away with this? And then say no. Are there going to be consequences? Say yes. You might not know what they are, but God's faithful. God's faithful. Let's all bow our heads and pray. Lord, we thank you so much for your faithfulness and your goodness. We thank you, Lord, that your word reveals truth to us. And Lord, I pray for the people here who've been tripped over and over again. But today they realize you love them. They realize you have a plan for their life. And today they're saying, Lord Jesus, I want you to forgive me. If you believe you're a sinner this morning and you want to be forgiven, just pray this prayer with me in the privacy of your heart. Pray, dear God, I believe I'm a sinner. I believe my sin is wrong. I believe it will kill me, send me to hell. But I believe Jesus loves me, that he died and rose from the dead. Jesus, please forgive me. I surrender my life into your hands. I want to be born again, God, born of the Spirit of God. Thank you, God. As the eyes are closed and the heads are bowed, if you prayed that prayer in a minute, I'm going to ask you to stand up. By praying, you told God, God, I need you. God, I surrender my life to you. God, here I am, ready to live for you. So right now, if you prayed that prayer and today you're saying, I want God to forgive me, I want to become a Christian, God's son, God's daughter today, eyes closed, heads bowed, just stand up to your feet and acknowledge his forgiveness in your life. God bless you. Stay standing, please. God bless you. If you're in the lobby or Casa Real, God bless you. Stay standing. God bless you. Good. God bless you. Stand up. If you're in the lobby, stand to your feet. God bless you. Good. Good. God bless you. Very good. God bless you. Good. God bless you. Good. God has spoken to you, and he's saying, I want to open your eyes that you may see what's going on, that I may guide and direct you. God bless you. Good. Now we're going to do one more thing, and this includes the people in overflow watching on the screens. As we welcome you to the family of God, if you're standing right now, we're going to ask you to step out of your seat and come on down to the altar. And if you're in the lobby, come on out of your seat and come on down to the altar. Let's give them a hand. Come on down here right now. Who's the man? Who's the man? Come on out of the lobby. Come on. God bless you. Stay right there. This is going to be good. It's going to be good. You can face this way. You can face this way. Face this way. God bless you. 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 Who's the man? Who the man? God bless you. The Bible says, if you confess your sin, God's faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you. Your sin is forgiven. God says, can we start over? He has a good plan for you. He knows everything. He knows stuff you don't even know. We sin, we don't even know it sometimes. That's how bad we are. Did I say that? Yeah. But God says, guess what? I got a good plan. I want to start all over for you. All you got to do is trust him. Just do what he says. Don't do what your friends say. Don't do what I say. Do what the Bible says. That's why we read the Bible every day. That's why we do the quiz, right? What does the Bible say? That's how we're going to learn it. So we're going to pray for y'all. They going that way? Okay. Who's over there? Can you help me out? We're going to send y'all that way. You're going to make a left. Next week, bring a friend. We're going to be talking about Cain and Abel, first murder. We're going to be talking about why Cain had a problem with Abel. Let me tell you something. If you got a problem with somebody, a human, it's not because of them. It's because of you and God. If you got a problem with somebody, it ain't them. It's you and God. We're going to talk about that next week. Okay? The quiz is next week. Go on the internet, study the quizzes from January, the quiz from today, there's 10 questions from today. Study the quiz. Let's get 50% of you getting an A. Amen? Can we do that? Amen. Let's pray for them, and then we're going to take them left. Lord, we thank you so much for all these people. We thank you for their faithfulness. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your goodness. Bless us this week. May you open our eyes up to the devil's lies. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give him a hand. Let's walk that way. Amen.